And now on Radio 4 FM, the third part of our 30-minute serial.
Bertie and the Crime of Passion by Peter Loveday, dramatised by Geoffrey M. Matthews, with Robert Lang and Jane Lafferter.
You may recall that no sooner had I become convinced that the so-called artist, Morgan, was guilty of the murder of Maurice Letissier, than Rosine d'Agincourt, the dead man's fiancée, revealed to me that far from being jealous of her marriage to Letissier, Morgan, a radical and free thinker, had no intention of marrying her himself. Moreover, Rosine fully intended to become Morgan's lover after her marriage, thus removing his only obvious motive. How was I to convince the surety that they had arrested the wrong man? More to the point, how was I to explain Rosine's inopportune presence in my bedroom the previous night without risking bodily injury from Sarah Bernhardt?
Sarah, please.
I can't treat you with my bare hands, you philandering old English goat.
Sarah, our friendship is too precious to sacrifice. Allow me to explain. Last night, my secretary let Rosine d'Agincourt into my room without my knowledge. I had no idea Rosine was there. However, after hearing what she had to say, I'm convinced that the surety have incarcerated an innocent man.
Tell it to the police.
I fully intend to, but I was hoping for your support.
You're perfectly capable of handling Gorin alone. Why do you need me?
I need you to talk to Morgan. He's a rampant anarchist. He'll regard me as the enemy. But you could coax the truth from him. And, more importantly, I can't bear to be away from you.
Forgive me. I was not expecting such distinguished guests. I presume you have some fresh information?
You may presume what you wish, Monsieur Gorin. But we wish to speak with Mr. Morgan.
With what purpose, sir?
He is, I believe, a British subject, entitled to visits from his consul?
Certainly.
The consul represents the Queen, as I do. But if you wish to verify that I have my mother's authority...
Sir, that will not be necessary. I would have Morgan brought from his cell immediately. He has already been questioned intensively.
With what result?
He has admitted nothing. Yet. But I will have him brought up.
No. We will see him where he is being held.
Be careful of your clothes, madame. There is mold on the walls. Morgan, the Prince of Wales wishes to see you.
Mr. Morgan, I am a friend of the Agincourt. Rosine has asked me to take a personal interest in this case. So, how are they treating you?
Abysmally. No food, no sleep, kept in darkness, interrogated every 2 hours. Do they expect that hunger and despair will make me confess to something I didn't do?
Gorin, did you know about this?
Of course the swine knows. He is my interrogator.
Well?
Prisoners who insult their questioners can hardly expect privileges.
Monsieur, this man has not been convicted of any crime. He is cold and hungry. I must insist he is fed immediately.
What are you waiting for, you cretin? Oh, la, you make me ashamed to be French. Have a good breakfast brought in now, or we go straight to the minister. Feeling better now?
Much.
Good. Now tell me, monsieur, are you innocent?
Innocent of what, madame?
Of murder.
I am not a murderer. All my life I've only had one desire, to paint.
And your friendship with Rosine d'Agincourt?
I refuse to implicate her in this.
Refuse? Listen to me, Mr. Morgan. That young lady went to great trouble to persuade us to come here. She loves you. Believes in your innocence. You owe it to her to tell the truth.
The Surete threatens me with a guillotine one moment and promises freedom the next. Why should I believe you? For all I know, you could be hand in glove with him.
Very well, Mr. Morgan. If you don't want our help...
No, wait. Look, all I ever gave Rosine were a few kisses and sympathy. She was just a pathetic young girl with romantic ideas about artists. I could have bedded her any time, but I didn't, not once.
That's of no consequence, Mr. Morgan. The point is, would Rosine have married you?
She had childish ideas of eloping, until I told her I didn't believe in marriage. I'm a painter, first and last, can't even keep myself, let alone a wife.
How did you feel when Rosine finally agreed to her betrothal to Leticia?
I pitied her. But I knew her parents would win in the end. We often talked about it. She had this idea about presenting Leticia with a son and then being free to take a lover. Thinking that far ahead when you're still a virgin. She was serious, though.
You would have us believe that Rosine did all the chasing, and yet you went to the Moulin Rouge on the night of the engagement. Why?
To see the young buck she was being mated with.
Did you speak to him?
You think I'm daft? No, I kept my distance. Until after the shooting, anyway. Then I went over to Rosine. She had her arms folded across her chest. I thought she'd been hurt. But she was all right. Apart from the shock, that is.
What was she wearing?
A blue dress. A velvet cape with gold fastenings over it. She was so worried that her father would think I was the killer, she told me to go, so I left through the gardens.
You have no idea who fired the shot?
No. All I do know is, it wasn't me.
He is guilty as hell, and he will confess.
In those appalling conditions, there can't be a person alive who wouldn't confess. I demand your reasons for detaining Mr. Morgan.
Oh, I'll do even better than that, sir. I'll show you the evidence. Sketches made at the Moulin Rouge on the night.
To lose your tricks, drawings.
There. The murder scene, and there, in the background, Morgan.
That he was there is undeniable. But having listened to him, I am far from convinced of his guilt.
Ah, then you have not heard of Professor Lombroso? This is his treatise, L'Uomo Delinquente.
The criminal man.
Exactly, madame. The professor examined more than 7,000 convicts and reached the conclusion that criminals can be recognized by physical appearance. Not the receding foreheads, the heavy jaws, characteristic ears. I have found it invaluable when searching out malefactors. As you will see, Morgan conforms in every particular to the archetype of a murderer.
But this fellow, in the row above, looks uncannily like my brother Athie. And he's no murderer.
Now, look at this. The shotgun recovered from Morgan when we arrested him.
Leticia was shot with a revolver.
Please examine the stock, sir.
Jaguar coat of arms.
Proof that Morgan not only stole it, but also had access to a variety of other weapons, including revolvers.
Ah, like this one.
What is this?
If you don't know, monsieur, I fear for Paris. It's a revolver. Left in an overcoat in the dressing room at the Moulin Rouge on the night of the murder. You will note that the arms on the side plate are those of the Agincourt.
How did you acquire these?
By vigorously pursuing inquiries. I am not at liberty to say more, except that the owner of the overcoat is unquestionably innocent.
This is fascinating. Once Rosine was engaged, Monsieur Lecomte must have banished Morgan from the estate. Incensed, Morgan used one of their own revolvers to kill Leticia, leaving it to be found to throw suspicion on the family.
An inferior theory.
Your Highness, quite inadvertently, you have provided absolute proof of Morgan's guilt.
Ah. If I leave this afternoon, I can be in Cannes for breakfast.
You can't leave Paris, Percy. We must do something about that odious little man.
Go.
Unless we stop him, an innocent man will go to the guillotine.
After what Goro's told us, no one but Morgan could be the murderer. Anyway, the juge d'instruction will ensure the investigation is conducted properly.
Oh, can you imagine a magistrate who will disbelieve the famous Goron? Merci. I understand Morgan because I too am an artiste. I value my talent above all things. Morgan cares too much about painting to put it at risk by killing a man.
And what about Goro's theory?
Totally unconvincing.
It sounded convincing enough as a surety.
Morgan has always lived on the edge of poverty. If he's ejected from Montrose, so what? Why suddenly become so angry about it? And why kill? Not you, the man who evicts him, but Letitia.
But I can't conceive of one of the Azancourts as a murderer.
Face it, Bertie, one of them is guilty.
They're respectable people, Sarah. I've known them for years.
Possibly. But I keep thinking back to something Mr. Morgan told us. He said that after the shots were fired, he went over to see Rosine.
So?
He said she appeared to be in shock. And the phrase I particularly noted, that her arms were folded across her chest and that she was wearing a velvet cape. So, if she were holding a revolver under it, no one would have been able to tell.
You are not suggesting Rosine fired the shot?
She's the obvious suspect. She was infatuated with Morgan.
So is our old friend, the Crime Passionnel, after all. I think not. If Rosine were guilty, why come to see me? A murderer doesn't assist the investigation.
She was driven to it. When she shot Leticia, she didn't expect Morgan to be arrested. She came hoping you could use your influence to free him.
Which I have failed to do.
Because Rosine did not tell you the whole truth. So, if only for Mr. Morgan's sake, we must return to Montrouget and get her to confess.
You live in Paris, Bertie, but you will find Rosine in the library.
Thank you.
But what exactly is your interest in this dreadful affair? Jules said something about you wanting to solve a mystery. But the Sûreté have done that already.
Not to our satisfaction. Juliet were old friends, so it would oblige me greatly if you would answer some questions.
If you want to know about poor Maurice, he would have been perfect for Rosine. Amusing, handsome, and with a private fortune. Naturally, Jules and I urged her not to miss her opportunity. The silly minx took her time deciding.
Girls do sometimes.
Anything vaguely bohemian always fascinated her. All we did was steer her gently in the right direction. What she needed, as I pointed out so often, was a husband to steady her, not a vagrant painter hoping to live off her money.
Does she have money?
Oh, she inherits 80,000 francs on her next birthday.
So she would have been extremely comfortable. Did Maurice live with his parents?
I believe he had his own apartment in the Rue Tronchet.
You were nanny?
Oh.
Did you see Glyn? Are they going to release him?
I fear not.
But it will not tell Grant that Glyn does not believe in marriage, that he had no reason to kill Maurice.
I made that absolutely clear, Rosine, but
Grant has enough evidence to sink a battleship, and he is confident that Mr. Morgan will confess.
But Glyn is not a murderer.
The evidence wasn't entirely conclusive, my dear.
But his confession will seal it. The guillotine awaits him.
No! Glyn would have told me if he'd done it. I've never known anyone so truthful.
You value the truth, do you? But are you truthful yourself?
Of course.
And do you believe in God?
Yes.
Then, swear before God that you did not kill Maurice Letitier. I tell you, Bertie, I am convinced Rosine killed Letitia.
My dear, I believe you'd have blithely applied some screws to get a confession, but you failed. Good Lord, it's six already. Why don't you join me later for dinner?
Thank you, but no. I must devote this evening to preparing for my world tour.
Maybe I could assist.
I'm grateful, Bertie. But I find packing a trunk requires absolute concentration, don't you agree?
Well, I don't think I've ever packed one.
As I thought. Perhaps we can meet tomorrow.
Just as you wish. Cabby, to Sarah Bernhardt.
Monsieur.
And after that, the Rue Tronchet.
The Rue Tronchet? The TTA's lodging? You're going there tonight?
I can't put it off, Sarah. Not while that poor wretch Morgan
is freezing to death in a dungeon.
Then I shall just have to come with you.
Monsieur Le Tissier is gone.
We know.
We wish to speak with you, madame.
I have already spoken to Goron, chief of the Sûreté. Are you from the Sûreté?
We have no connection with the police.
I'm glad. You should have seen the mess they left.
Yes, please. But we would like to see the mess.
Then you are too late. The apartment has a new tenant, an elderly lady.
What happened to Leticia's belongings?
Everything the police did not take was collected 2 days ago.
By whom?
Renouveau man and the boy's father.
Charming old gentleman.
Ah. Then, could we view the apartment?
I told you it is not convenient.
Merci, there will be nothing to see except that old lady. Tell me, madame, how long did Leticia reside here?
3, maybe 4 years.
Then in that time, you must have formed some impressions about him.
I don't gossip about my tenants.
It would not be gossip, madame. It is salient information, which will all be made public at the trial.
I see. What do you wish to know?
Ah. Was Leticia temperate in his habits?
Temperate? No. He was rich, had no job. He'd go away for days on end. Come home at all hours. Never warn me in advance.
Women,
you have it in a word, madame.
But did you actually see him with women?
Of course. I don't tell lies, monsieur. He was quite good looking, you know, when he first came here. Oh, he had a lot of hair then. But he lost it very quickly.
These women, did they come for immoral purposes?
I don't permit that. They were proper ladies, not demi-mondaine. But what went on outside these walls was no concern of mine. I did once see him leave the Montillon in broad daylight.
The Montillon?
Don't ask, merci.
If he'd worked for his living, he wouldn't have had the energy for that kind of thing.
These ladies' visitors, do you recall their names?
Oh, there were 3 in all. The first one he introduced as his sister. Sister! She had red hair and a foreign accent. The other two were quite different. Dark hair, decently dressed. Both good looking. But neither visited more than twice.
When was this?
In the first year. But last winter, he kept getting sore throats, headaches. Migraine, he said it was. Me, I think it was jaundice. His skin had that yellow look. But whatever it was, it stopped his philandering.
Did he receive any lady visitors in the past few weeks? Since Christmas, let us say?
The only one... Oh, but I wouldn't like to think she had anything to do with Monsieur Leticia's horrible death.
We must not suppress anything, madame.
Well, she was younger than the others. No more than 20. Demurely dressed, very slim, long brown hair. Intelligent face. A little taller than you, madame.
Her hair. Did she wear it like mine?
No, madame. It was parted at the center, combed back, then fastened behind.
Rosine. It has to be her, Bertie.
Oh.
Did you discover her name?
No, madame. But she first came at the beginning of the year before last. On Sunday afternoons. 4 or 5 times altogether. I'd almost forgotten about her until a few weeks ago when she reappeared. But she changed. She was so pale. Her eyes were red at the edges as if she'd suffered. I felt so sorry for her.
Did Leticia invite her in?
For about half an hour. Then he showed her out.
Did they appear affectionate?
No, quite the reverse. From the look on her face, I'd say they'd had an argument.
And you've not seen her since?
No, monsieur.
Tell me, madame, did you ever meet Monsieur Leticia's fiancé?
No, madame.
Then how can you be certain this young lady was not his fiancé? From your description, they sound identical.
How? Because of this newspaper, there. A picture of Rosine Dagincourt. She's definitely not the lady who called here.
Madame. You told us earlier that the removal men cleared the room. What happened to the rubbish?
There was none.
The removal men took everything.
They must have left something.
Nothing of value. Only some stuff they tossed in a tea chest.
Where is it?
Under the stairs.
You silly fool. That old witch will be laughing her head off.
Why?
She's a Louis d'Or, better off, that's why. For what? A box of rubbish. And what's more, she sent us on a wild goose chase for some mysterious woman.
Really?
Well, she didn't fool me. She was protecting Rosine by pretending it was someone else.
Sarah, if you didn't want the truth to come out, why mention the visit at all? No, I'm inclined to believe the old lady. The mysterious caller has to be an entirely different woman. So, we have a fresh suspect.
Oh, that's it. You can't bear the thought of one of the Agincourt being the murderer, so you're only too pleased to have someone else to chase, even if she's a figment of that old woman's imagination.
If that's your opinion, Sarah, I see no point in any further discussions. I shall find the young lady without your help.
Ha ha! Go on then, Prince Charming. Find your Cinderella. Dark, 20, average height. There can't be more than 10,000 girls like that in Paris. It may take a year or two of trying to fit the slipper, but knowing you, that'll be no hardship.
Oh, that's below the belt, Sarah.
A choice of phrase that sums it up exactly. Goodbye, Bertie. I have packing to do.
Temperamental business. Cabby! Do you know the Montyon?
The Montyon, monsieur. Do you know it?
That is the question I just asked you.
Well, the Montyon, monsieur, is a house of pleasure, if you know what I mean.
I wish to be taken there, whatever it is.
Monsieur?
I should like to see the proprietor, if you please.
Of course. Do you wish me to mention your name?
You may say that, Lord Tennyson has fallen.
Lord Tennyson. This is indeed an honor. Please sit down.
Thank you.
We have not had the pleasure of welcoming a man of letters before. Of all English poems, The Charge of the Light Brigade is my favorite. I will not ask you to recite it, but you must sign our visitor's book, Your Lordship. You need have no worry, sir. We are patronized by many gentlemen of distinction. Politicians, men of letters, even royalty. I'm sorry you didn't come here for conversation.
On the contrary, madame. It is conversation I want. And information about a certain young lady.
Excellent. You already know who you want. Which one is she?
Madam, let us be clear. I am here only to make inquiries. About a young man called Maurice Letissier.
Letissier? Ah, the man killed at the Moulin Rouge. Yes, he was a regular at one stage.
And did he have a regular girl?
Mimi was always his favorite.
I should like to meet her. To speak to her. That is...
Mimi is not in demand. But we can see if she is available.
Miss! Close the door, Scrafty. Don't they even get turned into a bath between clients?
This gentleman isn't a client, Mimi. He just wishes to make inquiries about someone you may remember. Maurice Letissier. I shall give you, monsieur.
I've done nothing wrong. Well, not criminal.
You're in no trouble, mademoiselle. I can see for myself that you are not the girl I seek.
Really? Well, you can pass me the towel if you've seen enough.
Oh, a pleasure, my dear. We don't want you catching your death. Letitia was a regular client, I understand.
For 2 or 3 months. I'm sorry he was murdered, but it was just another job. And I have no idea who killed him.
Did he speak of other women, ladies, he knew?
No.
When did you last see him?
Oh, maybe 2 years ago. He was with a student. He didn't pay for it air anymore, so I suppose he was leaving in it.
What makes you so certain she was a student?
Maurice introduced us.
He introduced you? His cocoa?
He has no choice. I greeted him first. He turned bright pink when he saw me. But I'm not mean. I wouldn't have sit where we met. He was in the second year at the École de Médecins. Her name was Claudine.
No surname?
No.
Pity. Is there anything else you recall about Claudine?
Oui, she a dark brown hair. Didn't need to stay. She was as thin as a stem. Oh, and very demure.
Are you quite sure she was his friend? Not simply a passing acquaintance?
No. Anyone with F and I could see they were in love. Really in love.
This just arrived, sir. It's a letter addressed to me as your private secretary. The writer does not reveal his or her identity, but...
Oh, what on earth is it? What's the gist?
I think you should read it yourself, sir.
If you say so. Sir, it has come to my notice that the Prince of Wales has taken a personal interest in the recent death of Monsieur Letizia. At the time the shots were fired, I saw that man, Morgan, in the garden, outside the hall. Justice will be done if His Royal Highness uses his influence to secure the release of this unfortunate man. This is manner from heaven, Francis.
Sir.
Telephone the sûreté and ask that scoundrel Gouraud to come here immediately.
I am at your command, sir.
I assume Morgan is still in custody?
Yes, sir.
You heard my opinion yesterday. Now, I'm handing you some evidence that has come my way.
This is of no interest to the Sûreté.
No interest. It is independent evidence that Morgan is innocent.
Two similar letters were also received at the Sûreté. They confirm my opinion that Morgan is the murderer.
Someone goes to all the trouble of bringing this to your attention, an educated person, by the way he expresses himself.
Or herself.
I was about to add that. Someone goes to all that trouble, and you disbelieve them. It's deplorable. Irresponsible.
I'm sorry you take that view. But I consider that the letters were written by one of Morgan's friends to provide him with an alibi. Yet he repeatedly told us that he was inside the hall when the shots were fired, that he only went into the gardens after speaking with Rosine d'Agincourt. Either Morgan is lying, or the letter writer. Whichever it is, the letters do him no service at all. Good day, sir.
In Bertie and the Crime of Passion, Robert Lang played Bertie, Jane Lafferter, Sarah, Geoffrey Whitehead, Gohan, John Hartley, Morgan, Zulema Dean, Juliet, Tracy Wiles, Rosine, Linda Regan, Mimi, Tessa Worsley, the Madame, and Diana Payan, the Concierge. The director is Matthew Walters.